The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. This is Robert Graham. You're listening to the Buzzkirk and Graham Show on 960 The Patriots Thursday. And if you're on your way home, or if you're still working, or if you're at home, thanks for tuning in. This is a good time. I mean, the idea is to bring as much news as we possibly can and give you some insight, maybe some perspective that's a little different, or maybe it's going to add to something that you already believe. But again, we find ourselves in debate all the time. On Facebook yesterday when we were having our show, where there were some discussions going back and forth about the election with Donald J. Trump and just who likes him, why are people pounding on him and such. And so some liberal people got on there and there were some conservative people bashing back and forth. And I was actually pretty surprised at what had happened. I think the liberals, when they start getting unbalanced with the argument, they start calling names. And so they started calling Trump pansies and things like that. And I thought to myself, I don't get it. I don't get why you have to go there. I mean, it's just like either you've got an argument or you don't have an argument. If you have to start calling people names or starting to generalize and lumping people together, that's pretty pathetic. And it's constant. And it shows, I mean, it's immature. It's like, you know, you remember kids when they fight, they're like, argue this, argue that. And then my dad could beat up your dad. And then everybody stops and looks at each other like, what did that have to do with it? No, my dad could beat up your dad. So it just changes, right? And it's kind of the same premise. I think that once they have exhausted any capacity they have for reason or logic, they go to name calling because they'll get other types of reactions there. Usually what I write when people start name calling, I just write yawn because it just gets exhausting as we do this. Now, here's a new one for you. Now, this is something very interesting because what's going on with North Korea. And as I mentioned earlier tonight in the show, we would talk about North Korea. We'll get to Comey. We'll get to the FBI. We'll get to the Inspector General's report. And we're going to go on and on and on. We're going to have a lot of stuff to cover today, including the Nobel Prize. But I want to touch on this as it relates to Iran versus like Korea. Okay. So there's an article that, again, is in the Financial Times. And the title is, Why Does Donald Trump Treat Iran Differently to North Korea? Now, I started to read this. I thought, very interesting title because I've been watching what's happening. And in so many ways, we're treating them very similar, but in other ways, different. Now, look, I'm going to read parts of this article. It says, okay, so President Donald Trump has touted his summit with North Korea dictator Kim Jong-un as so great a breakthrough that Pyongyang is no longer a nuclear threat to the U.S., yet deems Iran, which does not have nuclear weapons, a regime of terror, and recently tore up a multi-party nuclear agreement with Tehran that took years to negotiate. And then the question, the writer says, how different are Trump administration's approaches to the two countries, and what are their chances of success? Now, they go through this, author goes through this, and I'm actually kind of shocked, quite honestly, because you have two very different nations. You know, one of the arguments that this writer puts in here is that North Korea has capabilities today. Right. They have the intercontinental ballistic missile. They have nuclear program. They've got it. Right. And so they're stressing that. And they're saying, but Iran doesn't have nuclear capabilities right now. So experts stress the nuclear threat from North Korea is more serious than from Iran because Pyongyang has developed a nuclear arsenal and the means to deliver it. But Iran hasn't. And it goes on and on and on. It says, but scientists estimate Pyongyang has dozens of nuclear warheads, long-range ballistic missiles that could theoretically reach U.S. soil, and much of the program remains shrouded in secrecy. Of course it does. I mean, this is a nation, right? This is another nation. It's an independent nation, sovereign nation, whatever you want to call it, okay? But here's the thing, is it goes into talking about Iran, and this writer goes in and says, Iran also has many enemies in the region. Oh, my gosh, okay? Notably, Israel and Saudi Arabia and a few effective allies. North Korea has relations with its neighbors, China and South Korea. Now, the last I checked, there's been this little thing they've been talking about in the summit called the Korean War that's been going on for 70 years. Now, I don't know about you, but when I go somewhere with my friends, I don't say, let's go to war. Maybe I do that in a jiu-jitsu mat. but it's not going to be a 70-year battle, right? We are going to, so to say this, I thought to myself, who is this person writing this article? And I can't believe they put that. I could see them saying that with China, but with South Korea, for heaven's sakes, and they're saying, well, the reason they justify that is they say President Moon Jae-in is particularly keen to forge a lasting peace to end decades of tension on the peninsula. Now, that's a positive, right? Isn't that a good thing? So you see this individual who's trying to lead a nation that's neighboring a nuclear regime that has remarkable capacities and short fuse, that is launching intercontinental ballistic missiles like every week, every couple of days into the sky, shooting it over our allies, doing things like that. They're instigators, right? In so many ways. And so they're dealing with it. They dealt with it a very specific way. Now let's talk about Iran. Let me give you a little backdrop on Iran. So when I was chairman of the Republican Party, I think it was the second year of my first term, I received this invitation to speak at an event. Now, I didn't know anything about it. They said, hey, this is an event that is about ending a nuclear Iran and countering radical Islam. So I thought, oh, that's pretty juicy, you know, topic, what have you. So I look at the guest list or the other speakers. So we had quite a few lawmakers here in Arizona that had the privilege of speaking there. But we had Mayor Giuliani, Linda Chavez, General Shelton, who was a chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and all these individuals that were coming out, and they were speaking at this event here in Arizona. There's probably, so we have this event, about 2,000 people. So I agree to speak at it. But do you know what? I didn't know diddly squat about really the detail behind Iran and the threat of radical Islam. Now, I knew the threat of radical Islam, not directly to Iran and really how they had their fingers and everything. I knew the threat of a nuclear Iran. I've talked a lot about this on the show, but I didn't have the intimate details, right? So to be able to stand up in front of people, thousands of people, and speak, you better get your facts straight, okay? So I open up good old Amazon. I think I bought 14 books. I had 1 week to read everything and get it ready. And then I put together, I read manuscripts between Ayatollah Khomeini and Khamenei. Their interactions is one trained the other. And then I looked at their history. There's a bunch of books called The Bomb. When you start to see how they're preparing and how they're doing things, their absolute war on Christianity and the West. Now, it doesn't just spew out of Iran. They fund all these different regions of the world, including Europe, including people in the United States, to do what? Destroy us from the inside out and such. Okay, if you look at every major terror episode in this world, almost, okay, I've got to preface it by that because there's a lot from other crazy groups that are out there, but every major one, as of late and such, and you go into it and you start looking at kind of religious specific or what have you, or this jihadist terror that's happening, it comes back to Iran somewhere. You just can't deny it. People say, how can you tolerate profiling from Iran? I'm like, well, they do. It just happens. Okay. Now, I've had the great opportunity of getting to know people of Iran and understanding like the rank and file, the us's of Iran. They don't want the Ayatollah there. They don't want the theocratic leadership. They don't want President Rouhani, who holds himself out to the world stage as a moderate, but then goes ahead and executes hundreds of thousands of people under his leadership. These people are different, okay, than the Koreans. It's just the way it is. And so the approach should not be the same. It should be different. To assume that they should be the same. You know, there's even in this article, he actually quotes an Iranian leader that says they would love to have the Korean deal. They would love to sign that deal with President Trump. What deal? Okay, they've got a term sheet. They've got some structural dynamics that are taking shape now. There's some promises. The sanctions haven't ended. We still have our military poised and ready to go in Asia Pacific. We are there. We are watching them. There are mandates and specifics that are coming along. So I look at this and I think, are you serious? These people talk about this administration and how, you know, there's these thorny foreign policy problems. These are not thorny. These are different countries that have different historical components. Now, being on that, so I went through that. I go and I speak at that event, had a fantastic event. And then I was invited by this council, the National, let me give you the full name here, but the National Council of Resistance of Iran. And so I was invited by them to go speak or to participate in an event in Paris. Okay. Not to speak, but to participate in an event. So my wife and I and a handful of lawmakers, sure, we went there. Now check this out. We walk into the stadium. There were 130,000 people inside this stadium, right? Outside the stadium is 130,000 people. Who are these? These are activists. These are people that are revolutionists that want to take back Iran for the people. It was astonishing. I watched one world leader after another one. Liberals, Democrats. I mean, Howard Dean, for heaven's sakes. Bill Richardson. Watch them get up and shame President Obama on their lack of activity with Iran and then call for the freedom of that nation. It was astonishing. So I did that for 3-4 years. My kids even got involved. So we have an intimate understanding of Iran. And I have an intimate understanding of South Korea, not North Korea, but South Korea, and they are different. So just understanding you do deal with things differently. And I'm proud of our president not assigning a specific protocol to everything he's doing. This is Robert Graham. We'll be right back. Comey and the Inspector General, much more. Hey, welcome back, everybody. This is Robert Graham. You're listening to Buzzkirk and Graham Show on 960 The Patriot. Hopefully you are doing fantastic and having a great day today. It's been a wild and crazy week as it relates to information impact points on your life. And it's just filter process, doing what you possibly can to get a good feel for the outcome and whether or not the outcome is going to be in your best interest. Now, one of the things that's been under huge scrutiny, and it's been something that has been off-putting for most of us, is this investigation that's kind of transpired and also the behavior that's been happening by the FBI. So we look at the FBI. Let me preface everything I'm about to say, but you have to understand that it's not the institution. It's a few bad actors. Now, I had the privilege last year with many people to, well, not too many, a handful, 40 people or such statewide, go through the FBI Citizens Academy. I was introduced to virtually every single division, the training that goes on in every one of those divisions, and then truly, the benefit of having such committed, devoted agents on these things. And I got to tell you, when I sat and I listened to the internet, the crimes against children, the internet crimes against children, and I listened to two agents. There was a female agent and a male, and I watched them stand up. And they had a dog with them, a service dog, and it was an emotional support dog. And little golden doodle likes to sleep and do this thing. And it's anyways, long story short, they went up there and they told some stories. They didn't get into wild and crazy graphic stories, but they showed us, you know, their investigative processes and then the repetitive or habitual nature of pedophiles. We learned about the psychology behind them, and we heard just this constant, exponentially growing abuse that's happening around our country and how these agents are out there trying to get them. Now, I raised my hand. I had to ask, and I said, how do you deal with this? I mean, I don't know how you deal with this. And now, just to paint the picture, attractive, I would say 35-ish agent. She just says, because we catch the bad guys. We catch them. She said, if we weren't catching any of them, I couldn't deal with this. Because every time that they catch one, they actually protect hundreds of kids. Because these people are not like, they're not bigots. They don't discriminate. They want kids. And they do some really horrific things. They showed some technology that was remarkable. It's like facial recognition, what we see. They actually have like room recognition. So when a bad person's taking a picture of a kid, they actually start to really understand what's in the backdrop. You know, if it's a certain type of design, it might be in such neighborhood at this time, was built in 1998, whatever. They've got some cool stuff. So these agents have committed their life to something that most of us couldn't stomach. And so that's just one. But then you look at the Joint Terrorism Task Force, and you look at the Joint Terrorism Counter Task Force, and you start looking at all these individuals and their commitment to great outcomes, the White Collar Crime Division and such and such and such. It is amazing to watch things kind of percolate around and see these agents. But the one thing I can tell you about every single one of those people that stood in front of me, that they were committed to the job. Now, how many steps removed are they from Comey? Comey didn't grow up in the FBI, really. I mean, he was an appointee that got in there. He was an appointee. He was one of the first FBI directors. I think everybody in the country knows his name because he was so enamored with getting his name in the press. I mean, I really believe that. I think when it started, he didn't know what to do. And then whammo. Voila, Mueller. Nobody really knew who that guy was until he became special counsel, because you didn't know him as a director of the FBI. Because why? It's not a job that you'd normally see somebody standing out in front beating their chest like Comey did. So this inspector general report comes out, and there's the pros, the cons, there's all the in-betweens. There's some things that you just need to keep, make sure it's a balanced approach to this. But the findings from the inspector general show that there's no indication of political bias. Now, in my mind, when I hear that, I go, okay, maybe there's no like smoking gun, right? Where in the sense where they say, I'm a Democrat, you're a Republican, and I'm going to try to get President Trump to win, or Hillary Clinton to win. But if you start looking at the email threads, the text threads, you start seeing things, anybody that suggests there's not political bias is insane, okay? But when you look at Comey specifically, they're saying there's not political bias. Said the agents and the ex-director for voluntary, let's see here, I'm trying to give you an idea, for virtual violating bureau norms. So the inspector general came out and said they violated bureau norms. So you look at the violation of bureau norms. What are those norms? There's specific protocol. The one thing that I learned in the Citizens Academy is they have very specific approach to detailed data investigations, what they can share, what they can't share, what they can leak or not leak. They can't leak. They can't give information about investigations. They're extremely disciplined about doing that. Even my friend, I have a very good friend, and we would be talking about something that I saw in the news, and he said, it's an ongoing investigation. We really shouldn't talk about that. He's one of my best friends. And so we just wouldn't talk about it. Okay. It's just there's an absolute discipline around that. Now, what they also found, the inspector general, they found new messages of other FBI agents that were exchanging emails and that were critical of Donald J. Trump. Big scary, right? And they found other emails that were leaking information out to the public. Now, again, that's 1, 2, 5, 10 bad agents, right? I think there's five that they talk specifically about in the inspector general's report. But that is, I mean, you start looking at five, you've got an agency here that unfortunately is under the gun because of some bad actor's behavior. Okay, now you go further into this, and it says that, I've got to get my glasses on here in a second. But this is, let me get that. I want to make sure I say it right to you. So weeks of motivation, let's see, they follow through 2016. This is one of the things. So this is where I actually thought was pretty interesting. So they get very judgmental. So when they discover the 2016 email challenge, they're checking and saying, why was there a fall off here? So there was a huge delay from the time that they found this out to the point where they started investigating. Now, do you remember the emails that they found in September 2016? It was when they were looking over Hillary Clinton's top aide's email, and they found their way to, you know, Anthony Weiner and the top aide. So they were looking at Anthony Weiner's emails that crossed over because his wife, the top aide, was doing stuff on his computers that exposed a whole bunch more. Maybe expose isn't the proper word when we're talking about Anthony Weiner, but it is, they exposed more emails. And what was interesting is the inspector general looked at that and said, can't quite understand why you didn't take action on this right away. So there was more information about insubordination against DOJ officials by Comey. There was more information about his serious errors in judgment. Remember, he said that Hillary Clinton had serious errors in judgment. It's interesting to see the information come working back against him. So it is unbelievable. Now, the other thing that Bill and I were talking about too going into the show today was that there are emails and text messages that have been uncovered now that didn't find their way into the congressional interviews, the congressional investigation that they did. They weren't redacted. They just weren't included. And so now Trey Gowdy and others are like, their heads are rolling off their shoulders because they can't even imagine why this happened. So what happens is like when you go through this discovery process and investigation, if you've ever been through it, I've been sued before when I owned Arch Capital and such, and they ask for discovery and you've got to give it up, right? You don't hold back the information because you never want to be that person that's obstructing information, because it could be bad. This has always been on civil stuff. This is criminal that we're getting here. When you start seeing about some of these people that have gone to jail or prison for much smaller offenses than what Hillary Clinton did. And so it's interesting. So we still have to process an inspector general's report and kind of move ourselves through it. It's intense to say the least. It's huge. And so now what you'll get, a lot of talking heads will start rolling through it and they'll find their way out. Again, this is Robert Graham. You're listening to Buzz, Crick, and Graham Show. It is a time of reckoning to clean up leadership in many ways. Be back after the break. Hey, welcome back, everybody. This is Robert Graham. You're listening to Buzz, Crick, and Graham Show. Hopefully you're having a great day today. It's Thursday, and you are almost to the end of the week. If you're just joining us, welcome. We appreciate it and are thankful. Chris is not with us today. He's not feeling great. He has that kind of chest cold that's just literally taking his voice away, and it's hard to do radio without a voice. I mean, that is the absolute reality of it. So he is hopefully getting better. Rest, ice, humidifier, all the shooting match. When it gets this dry out, it is hard to recuperate from virtually anything. So as we get into a number of different dynamics here in the country, we've been talking a lot about trade. We talked about immigration. We talked about Korea. We've talked about Iran. And you have all these different influences, impact points that are going to push on you one way or the other. Yesterday, we were talking about the Time Warner and AT&T. We talked about net neutrality. And the goal is to see how these different puzzles start to fit together. So, again, you look inward to your life. You may be a firefighter. You may be a school teacher. You might be a business person. You might be an administrator somewhere. You may not work. You may be retired. And so what happens is each one of these dynamics that are happening around the world are going to influence you one way or the other. So when you have like the International Monetary Fund speaking about things a different way, it's one thing. And we'll touch on that a little bit more. When you have what's going on with the FBI and the Inspector General report, what is it that you think people are upset about? I mean, again, I'm going to give you the number, 602-508-0960. So right now, the Inspector General report comes out. And both parties, their leaderships are pretty heated over it, not over one thing or the other. The agreement is that some of these agents and these people, these officials within the FBI acted inappropriately. So let me ask you, what is the big fear for you as it relates to the FBI? Now, remember, there's a bunch of stuff that's going on now where they're talking about how the FBI placed some moles, some spies, some information gatherers, whatever you want to, some investigators inside the Trump campaign, like literally deep cover kind of stuff where they went in and they were there. They were part of the culture. They're part of the fixture. And they asked questions and they were with people. They're eating lunch and doing things. I mean, you start thinking about the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, and inserting people. And I don't know who made decisions, and we're still trying to figure out really what to the extent of it was there. Why does this terrify you? Again, 602-508-0960. Let me tell you why it makes me nervous. When we start talking about the Constitution of this country, and you think about where we were before the signers of the Declaration of Independence, right? Now think about the Declaration of Independence. Was that a small action? Or was that the greatest historical display of treason you've ever seen, ever? I mean, it was an absolute, right? Hey, we don't like you anymore. We're going to move beyond. We have this vision of a free nation. We have a vision of free people. We want to do this. We don't want to be with you. We are going to move away. This is it. So basically, buzz off, leave us alone, and do this. So now what happens is they move right into this battle, right? So we're there. And then when you look at the preamble of the Constitution, you hear me talk a lot about the securing the blessings of liberty. Well, what is liberty? Liberty is freedom, right? And freedom goes so far. You should be protected in so many different ways. So we have all these different amendments that we talk about, and it goes right through freedom of speech, due process, and you name it. And we look at all these different amendments and we try to assign it to ourselves. And there's a level of protection that you get because People are people. There's a normal dynamic in communication, business, and such. And there's a level of ignorance in some cases where we don't know what we're saying or doing. Or maybe it's going to trip us up, or we don't know. But anyways, when you look at the FBI right now, and you look at these huge agencies that have remarkable resources starting to embed themselves into our lives in what I would suggest an artificial way. I mean, it's one thing if you have a political bias, you don't like a campaign. Well, guess what you do at the end of the day? When you're a government worker, you hang up your shingle and then you go to work as an activist. People do this all day long. They do it every day, all day long. And then your text messages, who cares? But when you're in the midst of an investigation, or if you're trying to manufacture an investigation, that's terrifying to me because it starts to crash into people's civil liberties. And when you start thinking about that, that's when you start to really, you should kind of somewhat come unglued because it should be terrifying to you. We've got callers that are calling in right now. I'd like you to join us, 602-508-0960. What are your fears about the FBI and what they're doing right now? Are they overreaching? Maybe. Are they protecting our nation? I mean, there's a lot of people out there that are saying, man, this is crazy nonsense. And I want to hear what you are thinking because it's important. Again, you're listening to Robert Graham and the Buzzkirk and Graham Show. At 960 The Patriot, you're in the right place. Conservative principles and values and shaping this country the right way under the leadership of President Donald J. Trump. When we come back, we have more, and we got the phones lighten up. So I can't wait to hear what you've got to say. We'll be right back after the break. Everybody, you're listening to Robert Graham on 960 The Patriot. This is the Buzzkirk and Graham Show, and I'm going to get with it here pretty fast. We were talking about the FBI scandal, the Inspector General's report that's come out, but there's been a lot of, revelations that have happened as it relates to the FBI leadership at the top of the rung and some of the investigations that went well or not so well, and then now we're starting to see even more evidence. And the question I led into this was, what terrifies you about this FBI scandal? What does it mean to you? What I mean, you're the American people, and what is it that we are afraid of when you start seeing things like them inserting people in the campaigns and such? It gets wild and crazy. If you are, we've got a lot holding now, but 602-508-0960. Hey, so joining us right now from Fountain Hills is Tony. Tony, thanks for calling in.
Hi there, Robert. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it. Hey, I see that you know, we talk about the FBI, and it's kind of a terrifying reality, but what are your thoughts on this? I mean, what keeps you up with this?
Okay, here's my thinking, and correct me if I'm wrong. My understanding is from the very beginning that the FBI operates at the pleasure of the president.
Yeah, I think absolutely the FBI is part of the executive office. I mean,
exactly.
You've got the, and so, yeah, so, and I don't know about the pleasure, so now, but definitely.
I don't think anyone can argue that the corruption in D.C. reached its pinnacle with the Obama administration. So my real fear here is that the swamp is not drainable, that we have got so much corruption, so much partisanship that is inculcated that it's just not drainable.
Yeah, I think you're. It's an interesting comment because I've thought about that a lot. I mean, the hardest thing that we have as a nation. So yeah, President Trump is doing it. I think he's trying to drain it. I think he's popped the plug, and we're seeing some things wind down. We're seeing people getting out. The power structure is changing a bit, but the problem is he's got maximum 8 years, 6 more years in office if he gets reelected, and that is definitely. I think you're right. It's definitely, if the next person that comes in continues to do that, then maybe. But it's going to take more than 1, 2, 3 presidents to really make sure people are accountable. I agree with you.
Well, maybe. I mean, it almost seems like there's an amazing amount of collusion or incompetence because I don't believe there's anybody on the planet that can wrap their head around why is it that the Clintons are not wearing orange jumpsuits?
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah, I mean, I agree.
With the outstanding amount of evidence, the most obvious criminal activities, and yet these people are still running around free, you know, still making a mess of things.
You know, a perfect example is I don't know if you saw, I think it was yesterday or this morning when the AG from New York filed a lawsuit against Donald Trump and his children for their foundation. Yeah. And I thought to myself, you have to be kidding me. I think I almost bruised my forehead with my head slap because I thought, here you have the Clinton Foundation, which is just disgustedly abused all the laws, the environment, the jobs, and their influence. And they're still walking around without anybody doing anything of this nature.
How about all those people in Haiti saying, well, where's our money? We haven't seen any money.
Yep, that's right. Well, I'll tell you what, Haiti's a very intimate place for me. I spent about 11 years back and forth with Haiti. And if you don't know the people there, they are not a very trusting people because they've been hammered by dictatorship and by the drug lords and all this kind of stuff. And they've just never been able to get out into a real positive environment. And when that earthquake happened, and the Haitians and then the Clintons come in there, a lot of people don't realize one of the major components of wealth in Haiti is gold mines. Well, guess who has the rights for the next 20 plus years to the gold mines there? That's Hillary Rodham's brother now has it. All the rice contracts from all the rice fields that were destroyed in Haiti. Guess what state they're contracted with now? Arkansas. They just fleeced the people of Haiti. But again, like you said, they're still walking around. But the FBI fears, I think you're right. I think we have to be very cautious of a culture that's kind of manifested itself with the lack of leadership under Obama. I think when you have a wimpy leader, a limp-wristed leader like Obama, I think that people start to take on.
I think Obama was completely a figurehead,
and
someone was pulling his strings. The problem is that, you know, the everything's been manipulated, you know, from some dark circle.
Yep.
And it's been going on for decades, so many decades. And I include the Bushes there, too. I don't see them having accomplished much at all. So the problem here we have is that I really feel that we got a tough time draining the swamp because this swamp is really deep.
Yep, it is.
That's my fear.
Well, hey, thanks for calling in, Tony. That was Tony from Fountain Hills. We've also got Rick from Phoenix that is called in. Rick, hey, thanks for joining us. How are you today?
Yeah. Hey, hi there. I'm going to kind of echo Tony's position. I think maybe there is no there. I mean, let's go back. We've got the Fast and Furious. We've got Lois Lerner and the IRS, quote-unquote, scandal. We've got Benghazi, the Clinton Foundation. And we can list it. We can go down the list further, but there hasn't been a single prosecution. There hasn't been barely a single firing. I mean, what is up?
Yeah,
I mean, there's nothing there. Maybe it's just a point for conservative talk shows to harp on.
You know, I think it's...
Really, I mean, where is the gravity in any of this if nobody's getting nailed for it?
Well, this is the great letdown, right? Because you and I can go through life, if we get a traffic ticket, for heaven's sakes, you're accountable for it. Like, immediately in some cases, right? And it is, you think about all these, I would call them lesser, less visible, less obvious crimes or what have you, and we're held accountable to her. I think what's happening right now with the United States and the people, we're saying, what the heck can these guys get away with before they get held accountable? And that's that elitist status that's been rolling around politics forever. It seems like when people cross into a certain threshold, they become untouchable. And that is when we start talking about double standards or treating people the same, it's not just the media doing it.
Yeah, but nobody's taking a role on this.
That's what I mean.
Nobody's getting nailed on this.
Well, I think you get guys.
There is no there. So, I mean, is it just something to gin up the conservative talking points? Or is there really something there that is worth pursuing?
Yeah, well, I think that's what we're going to have to find our way to. I mean, if you listen to not just conservative talking points, but if you look at lawmakers that are doing the investigations, if you see the evidence that's coming out, I think any reasonable person looks at this and goes, there is a there. Now, what are we going to do about it? Let's hold somebody accountable for this. And, you know, you'll hear stories about these, like, nuke sub guys who takes a picture, gets put in jail for a year because he took a picture of a top secret area. And then you have hundreds of emails that are destroyed by Hillary Clinton. She's trying to hide evidence. I mean, it's there. But what happens now is, why isn't this infrastructure, this bureaucracy that's around the DOJ and such, taking the steps necessary to put a prosecution together? That's the part that I'm missing. I believe there's a there. I'm just looking for some prosecutory process where I can actually see it and define it. And
question. And Mr. Graham, I mean, no disrespect to you.
No, I love it.
Where are the results? I mean,
yep,
what's
Yeah, no, I'm with you more than I'm not. I mean, I got to tell you that this is the frustration that we're all looking for something, because it's just getting overwhelming in so many ways. Hey, this is Robert Graham. Thanks for calling in, Rick. You're listening to the Buzzkirk and Graham Show on 960 The Patriot. We'll be right back. There's others calling in. We're going to stay on this topic for a little bit. We've got a guest next hour. The next is our guest is Bo Triblay. He's a retired police officer, and we're going to talk about what's happening in Mesa, for heaven's sakes. If you haven't seen these body cameras, you got to these videos that are coming out. It seems like every day now a new one's kind of surfacing. It's interesting to talk about, but it's good to hear from a retired officer, and really the mindset and trying to place yourself there, I think, is critically important. But after, we'll be right back after the break. Welcome back, everybody. This is Robert Graham. Hope you're doing fantastic. We've got a couple people holding, and we've got a limited time now, but I'm going to switch right over to Doug in Maricopa. Doug, hey, thanks for joining us. We've been talking about FBI, the bureaucracy behind the FBI, and really what's been happening. And we'd love to hear your thoughts, Doug.
Well, I got to tell you that I am dittoing what Rick said, the last caller. He pretty much hit what I was thinking, because I have a friend that was in the FBI as well. But I think despite all of that, I think most of us are just getting fed up with the lack of accountability. Every time I hear, oh, there's someone knows someone in the FBA and they're just good people. And then someone knows someone in this bureaucracy and they're such good people. Well, if that's the case, these bureaucracies do great. Let's turn our economy over to them. But we know the problem is that there's zero accountability within those bureaucracies.
Yeah,
everything bogs up.
Yeah, it's interesting.
And Rick hit it right on the head. We're just, matter of fact, I was calling the other day when you had Representative Biggs on, because I wanted to challenge him. I wanted to give him a $100 bet that nothing was going to happen, because the bureaucracy was going to cover itself. We are basically backed up with very nice talking Republicans that will never accomplish anything. And so I think most of us are out here and saying, I don't care if it's Benghazi, Fast and Furious, IRS, name a dozen other controversies. Matter of fact, some of them got promoted or they retired at $15,000 a month.
You know what? Here, I'll tell you an interesting story. So when the president, Donald Trump, became president, I was offered a few different posts back in D.C. One of them was very interesting to me, okay, and one that I won't tell you the agency, but it was a significant position and one that was in my wheelhouse from a financial services standpoint and stuff like that. And I had a conversation with one of my friends who was on President Reagan's administration, and I said, yeah, if I get in there, I would do this. You know, I'd be working with Congress on some budgets and blah, 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 and I have this many people, and we're going to do this. He goes, Robert, don't get ahead of yourself. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, in D.C., the bureaucrats, not the appointees, the bureaucrats call themselves weebies. And I said, weebies? And he goes, yeah, weebies. He goes, we be here when you get here, we be here when you leave. And so when anybody tries to come in and try to influence real change, or they try to influence, try to do something like this where you're kind of tugging and pushing on something, then they push back, but they know how to slow roll things so that nothing gets done. They don't have to disrupt their lives very much. He said, so he goes, it's a pathetic reality. He goes, but the weebies are the ones that are really tying things down at multiple levels in government because they do not want to change. Again, Doug, this is, you've been talking to me, Robert Graham, Buzzkirk and Graham Show. We are heading into the break and we'll be kicking off the top of the hour. John, if you want to hang on there, we'd love to have you hang on, but I've got a guest coming at the top of the hour and he'll be hanging with us for a little bit. So if you want to hang tight or call back later, you're welcome to. Again, Robert Graham, be right back.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn. deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.